Welcome back. My first guest today is our very own Luke Jones. Luke, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you, my friend? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, my friend. So at M&T Bank Stadium, Luke, before the game, I said what coaches of any sport would say when facing a team that they're supposed to beat by a significant margin. You want to accomplish two things. Number one, you want to win the game. And number two, you want to avoid significant injuries. So the Ravens went 50-50, right? They won the game, not in glamorous fashion by any means, but they lost Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton, and those, you know, hopefully those players can come back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and it seems like the early indication are that it's not terribly serious for either of them. I want to be clear. I know that sometimes turns out to not be the case, but the early indications, which are all we can go off of right now, are that Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton did not suffer major injuries. That doesn't mean that they're going to be on the field Sunday in Jacksonville. It doesn't mean that they won't miss a little bit of time, but it does appear that they avoided major injury. But I think, and you just kind of said it, you know, you go into that game and you're thinking, okay, it's going to be an easy game. And we've talked about the schedule being what it is on paper. And we've talked about the fact that this team overall, its health is trending in the right direction. I think Sunday was probably a good lesson that both of those ideas can be very fleeting, because this is a team that defensively played great. You know, nothing to complain about on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, well, that's another story. And there's certainly issues that we've talked about for weeks now, including the passing game, that we can talk about in terms of needing to get better. But I think, you know, the Stanley and Hamilton injuries, we've talked about how Kyle Hamilton's stabilized that nickel spot for them, mm-hmm. where we know that they don't have a ton of established cornerback depth behind Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. So we know that that's a spot that had kind of been problematic. He had stabilized that and was playing really at a very high level there. So, you know, you lose him, you know, even if it's hopefully here just for a very short time. That's certainly something that's a question, even if it's not going to hurt you in the long run with some of these opponents they're playing. But, you know, I think Sunday was a reminder of just the NFL stands for not for long, right? So as much as you're feeling good about who you're playing or where your health picture is, it was a reminder that that can change very quickly. The good news is, again, it appears that the Ravens escaped that game, one, with a win, and two, without that catastrophic kind of injury. But we'll just have to see how things go in terms of Hamilton and Stanley, their practice participation, and how long they're going to be out.
I was at the stadium Sunday, Luke, and I was watching your tweets, as I always do. And I did a pro move, as Nestor would call it. I sold my tickets to the cold side of the stadium, and I bought tickets on the sunny side. And I'm telling you, I had to take clothes off. It was the difference between the cold side and the sunny side had to be about 20, 25 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to it. I just know my walk from my car into the press box was quite chilly, and I was happy to be inside. But from my days of having season tickets when I was a younger lad, it certainly made a difference if you're sitting in the sun compared to being in the shade this time of year, especially when you're dealing with some wind, which was certainly the case on Sunday. So for those fans who braved the elements, they did get to see a win. Again, it wasn't the prettiest game, and you know, we can get into some of that. But certainly it's that time of year, and at this point, you know, a best case scenario, maybe you'll be lucky enough to have a game that's in the 50s at this point. But for the duration, it's certainly jacket and heavy coat weather as we get deeper into the season.
Oh, I went full bougie. I got some club level tickets just in case I had to go back inside. But no, always good. But as ugly as the game was, Luke, I think it shouldn't be understated, the defensive performance that the team put up. Deontay Foreman, 97 yards a game, average the last four games. Top of my head, 24 yards and 11 carries. I mean, the front seven, they were just completely dominant.
Yeah, and frankly, Dennis, you want to see that. I mean, Carolina, this is a team that's already fired its head coach. They had already benched Baker Mayfield once. You knew that they wanted to run the football in a perfect world, because they're not wanting Baker Mayfield to have to throw the ball 40 times. You know, that's just, you know, I mean, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in football this year, regardless of what he might have been in the past. So for them to go out and play the way they did, that was encouraging. There's no question. Is it going to garner the attention that Dallas did, for example, of holding the Vikings to 3 on the road? No, it's not that as impressive as that was, but it was good to see them do what they did. And certainly, you can't complain about how they perform whatsoever. I mean, you know, we mentioned Hamilton. You know, he was having a heck of a game. I think Patrick Queen, who was moving in the right direction even a few weeks before they acquired Roquan Smith, we're finally seeing him look like the kind of guy that the Ravens wanted to spend a first-round pick to draft. So that's great to see. It certainly is. I mean, are there individual performances here or there on the defensive side of the ball where, you know, you question a little bit? Sure. I mean, you're not going to have a perfect defensive performance, but overall, I think all three levels of defense played at a very high level on Sunday. And, you know, it's just a matter of now getting Kyle Hamilton back and getting Marcus Williams back at some point. Yeah. Come December. We know that that'll be happening, you know, not imminently, but in the not too distant future. And, you know, then you see how good this defense can be. Not necessarily using these games as the most telling measuring stick, because, yeah, I mean, you should shut down Carolina. Jacksonville does have a better offense. I think that's worth noting. So it will be interesting to see how this defense does on the road against a Jacksonville team that I find to be fascinating. You know, for 3-7, I think they're interesting because, you know, you kind of look at the point differential, you look at all the one score games they've lost. They probably, from a true talent level standpoint, are a little closer to being a 500 team, which on this schedule, this slate of games that the Ravens have at this point, you know, that's about as tough as it's going to get until they face at least Atlanta on Christmas Eve. So I think, not that it's the biggest test in the world, but I think it'll be more of a test than Carolina was, offensively speaking. So, yeah, you want to see how this defense does, seeing what they can do against Trevor Lawrence and a Jacksonville offense that does have some talent. It's flawed. Not saying it's great, but I think it's a team that overall the Ravens are going to have to come out, not defensively, but overall as a football team, and play a much better, cleaner game than they played on Sunday against Carolina if they want to assume that they're going to get another win.
Last time I looked, Luke, it's going to be 73 degrees there. It seemed like the bad weather, cold weather affects Lamar negatively. Now, to that point, at what point do we stop seeing plays coming in late? Lamar, when he makes mistakes, his internal clock speeds up, right? That's when he gets jittery, flustered, and makes mistakes. In plays that he got, when he got to the line of scrimmage with 14 seconds, 12 seconds left, he was great, moving players around, audibling. But when the play comes in late, Luke, at what point does Greg Roman, John Harbaugh, and company get this thing cleaned up?
Well, I mean, I have more concerns than just that. I mean, I think this, you know, the running game since the first few weeks of the season, we talked about this last week, the running game, you know, I think Carolina did a good job really selling out to defend the run. You know, I think they did a good job taking away the zone reads. But beyond that, Dennis, whether we're talking about management issues like you just mentioned, or the passing game itself, I mean, this thing continues to be really choppy. Now, it had looked better in the second half against Tampa Bay, and it looked better overall against New Orleans. But let's face it, I mean, this is an offense that since the first 3 weeks of the season, it's been a bottom 10 passing game when you kind of look at it from an efficiency standpoint. I'm not talking volume. I don't care about yards per game. You know, this passing game's never been a volume, but the efficiency hasn't been there. Now, how much of that is Greg Roman? How much of that is Lamar Jackson? How much of that is the wide receivers? I would say the only thing I don't think it is the offensive line, because I think the offensive line has played very well. But I think it's some combination of those other factors where it's leaving them, you know, leaving you wanting as it, in terms of their ability to throw the football. To get back to your original question, though, I do think it's a combination of things. I do think, you know, you could question the verbiage. You know, maybe the play calls, is there a way to simplify that? You know, maybe. Do I think there are times where, because they run the ball, because they are valuing time of possession, that, you know, that they are deliberately going a little bit slower? Yeah. Does that go too slow at times? No question about it. I do think another big part of this that probably goes under the radar a little bit more is they do a lot of substituting. I mean, look at the tight end position, the number of guys they're cycling in and out. They use their running backs differently. you know, wide receiver. I mean, I know it's, you know, they only had four active on Sunday, and really only, you know, really only three of them. Two of them played a lot, in DeMarcus Robinson and Duvernay, and Prochet played a little bit. So I, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily that, but they do, they have a lot of different substituting that they do, and that's part of it also. I think some teams kind of streamline this, and, you know, they have a very defined number one, number two, number three wide receiver. They have a primary back that plays first and second down, and maybe they have a third down back, and they have one tight end that plays, and they kind of just go. And that's why teams can play a little bit faster. The Ravens don't do that. So I'm not at all dismissing what you say here. I think I'm in agreement with you. And I think at times I just like to see them play a little bit faster. Maybe, yeah, you know, some of the passing rhythm, and okay, they tried to do it against Tampa Bay and it didn't work well. But at some point in time, I just look at this offense, Dennis, and I just say, okay, you'll beat Carolina. I think you'll beat Jacksonville. You'll beat Denver. But these aren't teams you're going to be facing in January. And I'll continue to say it. I'm going to sound like a broken record. And I know some people think that passing the ball isn't that important for this team, but I don't think they're going to go deep in the playoffs if they don't get more production and a better level of efficiency from their passing game. They have done it in the past. This the efficiency of this passing game is nowhere close to where it was in 2019. It's not even where it was last year or the year before, if you take away the first 3 weeks of the season when Lamar looked like 2019 MVP Lamar. That's kind of gone away. And again, that's not saying it's just Lamar or just Roman or just the lack of wide receivers. It didn't help with Mark Andrews being banged up and him missing a couple games. You know, Rashad Bateman is not out there. I get that. But at some point in time, whatever the reason, they've got to be able to throw the ball at a higher level. And I will say this, even though they can probably go out there and still win a football game, even if it's not firing on all cylinders against Jacksonville, but I'm looking at it right now, looking at Jacksonville's efficiency metrics. Volume-wise, they don't look terrible as a pass defense, but looking at their DVOA and some of those other, quote, nerdy metrics, they're not a good pass defense. So if there's a time that you can go out there, and I don't want to say you're just quote working on something, I don't want to be disrespectful, because
sure,
people thought that against Carolina, and the Ravens were that Lamar throw that after the bad snap that bounced up into the air, if that ball gets picked and is returned the other way, Ravens were in big trouble over the last 8 minutes of that game. So that's how fleeting it can be. But this is a team that has really struggled as a pass defense that, you know, I'd like to see them be able to get things going a little more consistently in that way. And that doesn't mean Lamar throwing 45 times. You know, I argue about this with Nestor all the time. You know, if he's listening, you know, it's all, you know, all in good spirit, but you know, I constantly say they have to throw the ball better. And I think some people interpret that as meaning Lamar throwing it 45 times. No, it doesn't. It just means when you're throwing it, being much better at it. And, you know, you look at the splits first 3 weeks of the season, keeping in mind, they went up against the Jets defense that has actually proven to be pretty good, even if they weren't as good then in week one as they are now. It's a Jets defense that's very playoff caliber, even if their quarterback isn't right now. And they went up against New England in week three, who in recent weeks has looked like one of the best defenses in the NFL. So Lamar threw 10 touchdown passes over those first three games. And look, you're not going to do that every week. But in their last seven games, Dennis, six touchdown passes, five interceptions, a passer rating of just under 80, and even more so, more concerning than that for me, a yards per attempt of 6.1. This is not a team that is able to throw the football down the field. And yeah, they're missing Rashad Bateman, and, you know, to go back farther, a Hollywood Brown who was able to provide that threat for them. So, you know, they're going to have to find that. And look, I really liked what I saw from DeMarcus Robinson. In an ideal world, he'd probably be my number three wide receiver, but it's where they are right now. So that was good to see. And I want to praise him because he had a heck of a football game for a team that wasn't doing a whole lot offensively otherwise. But, you know, at some point in time, for me to have a greater level of confidence about this football team as a whole, as it pertains to not just getting to the playoffs, because they're going to make the playoffs. And I fully expect them to win this division. We've been over that. So it's a matter of what they can do to actually advance and make that deep run. That's where I look at Sunday's game, and you know, it's hard for me to look at that and say that that's a formula that's going to add up to making a deep run. Love what the defense has done, don't get me wrong about that, but we've talked about this with the rules and everything in this league. I don't know if you can expect that defense to stop Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Tua Tagovailoa that many times if you're not going to get more out of your passing game. And again, doesn't have to be Lamar throwing five touchdown passes, but certainly needs to be more efficient than what we've been seeing here more often than not over the last 7-8 games.
Well, there were certainly shades of the 2000 Ravens defense, not to make a direct comparison, when Marlon Humphrey says, if they don't score, well, we can't lose, right? They took me back 22 years when I heard that. But with that aside, Tampa Bay's pass defense, they weren't suspect. They had three starters out, right, in the secondary. Ravens threw at them 30 times in the first half.
And got nowhere with it, right?
But at the end of the game, though, 10 different receivers had caught the ball. And I believe Mark Andrews didn't play that game. I think he was hurt, right?
Hurt in the first half, yeah.
In this game, I mean, okay, Robinson had a lot of receptions. Was Duvernay double covered? Was Prochet double covered? There had to be players open on the field that either Lamar didn't see them or maybe they couldn't gain separation. But I would think there were more. There were some yards left on the field. I got that there were three passes dropped by receivers that Lamar threw to. But I'm with you. I think I've said it all along, and I don't think it's a stretch to say it. This team will go as far as the offense is going to take them. Defense is very good. Special teams is very good. But that offense has to be better going on the road against the teams you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say this much. I think, you know, what you mentioned as far as receivers being open, probably a little truer for me in some of these other recent games, and maybe Lamar wasn't as sharp in those games. I don't think Lamar was terrible throwing the football. I don't think there was a whole lot there on Sunday. And you know, whether, I mean, here, in my five predictions for Sunday that I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, I actually predicted, thinking we might see breakout performance would have been strong, but you know, a notable performance from James Prochet. Lamar targets him on the first third down of the game, and you know, he kind of cut his route short and dove and ended up diving for a pass that I don't think he really had to if he just runs through the route, and he dropped the ball anyway. So you know, he commits a penalty later in the game. I mean, these guys just aren't, they're not getting a high volume of opportunities, and I feel for them, and that's probably, you know, it's one of the reasons why Marquise Brown wanted out going back a couple years ago, even though last year he was certainly targeted more than he had been in the past. But you still need to take advantage of your opportunities when they come. And, you know, that's just not, you know, it's not happening. Duvernay, I don't understand, even if he's not being targeted as much, how he's not getting, you know, a few more carries with some jet sweeps and things of that nature. I mean, and Greg Roman's even said as much. John Harbaugh did make an interesting comment in his Monday press conference of, you know, if you recall, there were some times where he motioned across the formation and Lamar, you know, had a zone read, you know, mesh point where he would end up keeping the ball. And Harbaugh even acknowledged there were some times that Duvernay should have gotten the ball. So, you know, whether that's on Lamar or whether they're saying it's on Lamar, but maybe they're, you know, they're instructing him not to hand the ball off. Who knows? You know, I don't think you're going to get a definitive answer there, but you know, we've seen him be able to make some plays when he has the ball in his hands. It's just, again, I look at this offense, Dennis, and
it's not the Chiefs, and I get they have different personnel, but I don't recall any deep passes Sunday, unless I missed. Yeah. Were there any deep balls? Try to draw a pass interference or something, right? Just stretch the field a little bit. I don't recall seeing any.
Yeah, I mean, they pushed a few of them down the field, but were they, quote, deep balls in the way that you think of a 40-yarder? No, I mean, you know, Lamar had likely open in the back of the end zone, and that was a high degree of difficulty. But, you know, that one was a little more, yeah, that was had some air yards under it. But I hear you. I think for me, what's concerning, Dennis, is they can run the ball. And Carolina, give them some credit. You know, they did a good job stopping the run. I'm not concerned about their running game. I'm really not. But I feel like this offense, as much as we talked about trying to draw the comparisons to 2019, I feel like this offense, from a practical standpoint, and it's not for the same reasons, because in 2018, Lamar Jackson was a rookie.
Yeah.
But I feel like how they're profiling is almost looking more and more like 2018. And I don't think that's not a place where you want to be. I don't think that's going to hold up well, unless this defense is historically great, which I'm not ready to crown them just yet with that, although certainly I'm very encouraged by what the defense has done. So, you know, I'm just going to keep saying it, and people will keep looking at the overall numbers. they are very much buoyed by the top three or the first three games of the season at this point. You know, I read off the numbers. I mean, Lamar's individual statistics and this team's statistics passing wise as an entire offense since, you know, going back to week four, it's been below average. So that's where, you know, I keep looking at this thing and, you know, what's going to give. And, you know, you mentioned the pacing. I mean, there's a lot to this offense right now that elements I like. Again, the offensive line, they've got that part solved, especially if Stanley comes back. You know, if he misses a game or two, that's not the end of the world. You've got Patrick McCary. But as long as he's healthy for the stretch run in January, you've got that piece figured out, which was a big problem for them the last couple of years. So that's been good. But at wide receiver, it's less, you know, it's a lesser group than it had been the last couple of years. And we were debating whether it was good enough 2 years ago or last year, let alone talking about it now. So you have that piece. And, you know, I think with Lamar himself, you know, he's having a terrific year. You know, it's not as though he's been bad. I don't want to say he's, you know, having a bad year. But, you know, again, since week three, you know, the passing numbers certainly would not have him in the MVP conversation, which is kind of why he's kind of fallen back to, I don't want to say the pack, but he's probably like fifth or sixth if you want to kind of look at the pecking order now, at least looking at the odds that as Vegas likes to put out every week. So, you know,
I'm sure Patrick Mahomes is number one with probably a long slide to number
two. As
he
should be.
He is phenomenal. He's a phenom. There's just two ways about it. He's the only quarterback in the league I trade Lamar Jackson heads up for, by the way. And that's not being disrespectful to Lamar. The guy could just sling the rock. And again, he does have some weapons. They said he would come back to the earth without Tyreek Hill. Luke, that hasn't happened.
Yeah. And what, this past week, no Juju Smith-Schuster, and what, Tony left. And he also, you know, Mecole Hardman is on IR. So, no, you know, I'm not saying that those guys are all pros, sure, but they're guys at the top of the depth chart. And hey, he makes it work. Yeah, I'm with you.
I think, not to interrupt, but I think it's telling. Andy Reid said when they got the ball back with a minute, he said to us, it's an eternity. This was after the game. He said, we got the ball back last year with 13 seconds. So the Ravens can't have that mindset. You get the ball back with a minute or 13 seconds, and you're trailing and you need a touchdown, not a field goal. That's a tall order with this offense that's constructed, particularly at wide receiver, which I think is your point.
Yeah, and now I will say, and I think there's validity to this, the Ravens would say, well, but we feel better about our defense if it's only a minute. Now, if it's 3 minutes, you know, maybe that's a little bit different. Now, Dennis, I'm not saying I agree with that or that will be proven to be correct, but that's where, again, I kind of go back to this team's identity right now, reminding me a little bit more of 2018. And again, that doesn't mean I think Lamar is playing like a rookie.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about how it is profiling right now. It's still that great run game, but that efficiency for the passing game, just, you know, it's been fleeting. Again, second half of the Tampa Bay game, Lamar was 8 for 8 and threw 2 touchdown passes. Great. I'm not saying he's going to do that every single week, but you saw that. But, you know, New Orleans, it was okay. The passing game was good enough, but
see, I flash back to the Buffalo game, right? When your defense takes the field with a minute, with a quarterback such as a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, you're not playing your normal defense. You know, one pass there at the 50-yard line. Now all of a sudden you're on your heels, right? And you can't let them. You can't let offensive players get behind you. So it's a different defense. It just is. If you're telling me, would I rather have the Ravens defense on the field with a minute and Patrick Mahomes with the ball? Oh my God, that's a no-brainer.
Oh yeah, and it's true of any defense. That's not the Ravens could be the best defense in the NFL, and maybe they will be by the end of the year. I'm still taking Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you got to take the quarterback because the rules, how they favor the offense, etc. The feel they have to defend, how accurate these guys are. We just don't have that kind of an offense, and they've got to catch lightning in the bottle to go deep in the playoffs as constructed.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, in a big picture sense, that's where I still kind of struggle with, you know, and use.
Right, they have to play perfect. They have to play perfect games in an imperfect league. Whereas the Bills, the Chiefs, they don't have to play perfect games.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, and who knows now? I mean, Miami's looked pretty darn good. I mean, if you kind of take away their three losses, and they got beat pretty handily in those games when Tua wasn't playing. You know, they're looking surgical with their passing game right now. And, you know, I think the big question is their defense. I mean, the question for Kansas City and Miami is their defense. You know, Buffalo has a good defense if they can get some guys healthy, and they're still waiting on Tre'Davious White. And, you know, Milano was in and out of the lineup in recent weeks a little bit. So, but yeah, I mean, that's where, again, I don't want to sound like such a downer because this team's in first place. They've won four in a row. I do think they're a really good football team, but we keep, you know, it's like we could recycle these conversations year after year after year, Dennis. And, you know, that's why I've been so, such a broken record about, you know, wanting to see weapons for Lamar Jackson. And here's the thing with that. Some people, I've heard some people say, you know, Lamar likes throwing the tight ends, and look, that could be true. And maybe this offense, as it's currently constructed, maybe that is the best fit for Lamar Jackson. And maybe if you put him in more of a wide open offense, maybe the passing numbers wouldn't come up the way that, you know, optimists would say in that regard. But it continues to be that issue where, for me, is it the chicken or the egg? You know, is it, you know, that the passing numbers are what they are because of, you know, that's, you know, what they feel is what's best for him? Or is it because you don't have the weapons? Or, you know, do you feel you have decent enough wide receivers? But, you know, I mean, again, we can go in circles talking about this. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. It's very clear that the Ravens, you know, are leaning very heavily on this defense and the running game, and they're hoping to find a higher level of efficiency. And I'll be clear, I don't think that, not saying that this passing game has to be elite, but when in 2019, they had an elite level of efficiency. When you really look at what they were able to do in terms of, when you get into stats of success rate and expected yards, or, you know, expected yards over average and things of that nature, when they threw the ball, they torched teams. You know, they didn't throw it a lot, but when they did it, they were so successful doing it. And ever since then, they've been chasing that. And to be very clear, I think we said it at when the 2019 season came to an end. Lamar Jackson was probably never going to lead the league in touchdown passes again if he was going to be, I think he was 28th in pass attempts that year or whatever it was. You know, short of him changing stylistically and evolving stylistically, probably wasn't going to do that again. I mean, that's just, you know, that's akin to thinking of that home run hitter, you know, Aaron Judge this past year, you know, breaking the Yankees record, Roger Maris, you know, hitting 62. He's not going to do that again. I don't think so. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, something that ends up being a little more of an outlier, but, you know, the Ravens, I feel in some ways they're trying to chase that, but that part of it, you know, even if the defense is looking really, really good and the running game is, been one of the absolute best in the league after a slow start to the season, you know, that passing game just, you know, after those first 3 weeks of the season, it just, you know, it hasn't trended in a great direction. So, you know, we'll see if that changes on Sunday. As I said, it's a Jacksonville pass defense that has had its issues. So can you take advantage of that? Start building some confidence. Lamar Jackson has proven, let's be clear about this, he is more than capable of getting on a roll as a passer. Let's be very clear about that. You know, it's not as though I'm saying that 2019 was a total fluke. It's just that doing that for an entire season, you know, would be a little more fleeting, a little more difficult, you know, certainly way more difficult to do. But he can get hot, but that's where we come back to, you know, I love what DeMarcus Robinson did on Sunday, but that's a second career 100-yard receiving game. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a utility infielder has a game where he hits two home runs, and hey, that's great for that night. But, you know, is that more likely to be a breakthrough or more likely to just be a high water mark? To me, it's more the latter. So that's where, you know, you're trying to figure this thing out. And, you know, it's not just wide receiver. You know, we were also hoping to see, you know, hey, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely on the field at the same time. Well, you know, Likely what, one target. So, you know, it's a work in progress. It definitely is. And they've got time. And the good thing is you do have these run of opponents where, you know, you're hoping that you can find some growth at some point in time, understanding you got to win and that's paramount, but you're hoping to find some growth and to find, you know, a little bit more well-rounded offensive identity here down the stretch, because you want to maximize your chances once you get into January, which I still fully expect them to do.
Well, DeMarcus Robinson, for a fleeting moment there Sunday, Luke, reminded me of Rod Tidwell there on Jerry Maguire, you know, show me the money, right? Here's a guy develops at a wide receiver one, but then reality happens with the Ravens. But with that said, the Ravens quietly own the league's longest winning streak right now at four. Vegas has the odds of them at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl, which is are the sixth shortest odds in the NFL. And I'll buy that they're right around the sixth best team in the league, in a league that's a week to week league, which is why they're only 4-point favorites at Jacksonville. As we've seen, anything can happen in this league. If you don't bring your A game, you're going to get beat.
Yeah, and that's why, as I said a little bit earlier in our conversation, I mean, the performance that we saw against Carolina, meaning across the board, they've got to play better than that against Jacksonville. I mean, this is a Jacksonville team that, I get it, they're 3-7, and I am not at all sitting here saying that they are a good team. But if you've watched their games on a weekly basis, it's a team that's capable of playing at a pretty high level for stretches. It's almost like the Ravens earlier in the year when, you know, we talked so much about the fourth quarter blown leads and how they look like the best team in football through three quarters. Jacksonville hasn't been that, but they have been a little more, you know, there have been some games where they've been more competitive than you'd think. I mean, that Kansas City game that, you know, they lost by 10. You know, in fact, that's their only defeat this year that has been by more than one score. So it kind of speaks to, again, probably a team that's been a little unlucky. If you kind of look at how they profile overall, probably a team that's a true talent level, probably closer to being a little more like 5-5, which, you know, I mean, that's certainly when you're going on the road and playing a team that does have some good young players. And, you know, I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what they have with Trevor Lawrence. I think he looks good at times and other times not so good, which is pretty typical for young quarterbacks, you know, who don't take the league by storm like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. He's probably been more Josh Allen in that way, who was uneven his first couple of years. So, you know, so I think it is a case where, you know, Ravens need to go to Jacksonville, got to figure out a way to start faster. I mean, that offense was, you know, including the running game, was pretty PU until, until that final 2-minute drive, which of the first half, which even that was really choppy and not a smooth operation by any means. So they got to figure that out. And you hope that the defense continues to build on what they've done. We've spent a lot of time talking about the offense, and look, offense, as we mentioned, it's just the nature of the beast. Even if it's come back to the pack a little bit this year with some of, you know, the running game and two high safety looks and the passing game not being quite as proficient, we still know it's an offense, you know, first kind of league. But on the flip side, the Ravens defense has played at a high level, and certainly a group that you would expect should be able to go to Jacksonville and give that offense, which, you know, it's a decent offense. You know, they played well at times. Other times they've kind of, you know, been stifled a little bit. But it is a Ravens defense that you're hoping can lead the way once again as the Ravens offense tries to find that higher level of consistency.
Sunday, I got home at 4:50. Don't ask me how I did it, but I did. But I turned on the Steelers against the Bengals, and tough game. Went down to the wire. Hard to believe that Pittsburgh's 3-7, but such a swing game. Pittsburgh wins. They're 4-6, and the Bengals are 5-5 at that? No, 6-5. Mm-hmm. No, 6-4.
They would have been 5-5.
Mm-hmm. 5-5. There you go. But again, the talent level, I mean, it's right there. Pittsburgh starts a rookie quarterback. These divisional games for the Ravens are going to be tough.
No question. And that's why, even when we talked about this last week, as much as I look at the schedule on paper, and you can make the argument, not even the argument, I think it's factual information at this point. If you look, I guess, at future odds and things of that nature, Ravens should be favored in every one of those games other than week 18 going to Cincinnati as things stand. And again, who the heck knows what the circumstances will be there. The Ravens could be resting their starters. The Bengals could be out of it entirely. Who knows? But you know, you look at the rest of these games on paper. Yes, the Ravens are favored, but this isn't college football either. And you would still look at their odds of running the table, still being a pretty low, you know, that would still be a, you know, not a high percentage bet. Because of what you just mentioned, you still have three division road games. As much as Cleveland's defense has been a colossal disappointment, they're not bad offensively. In fact, I think it's kind of funny. I mean, we talk about Deshaun Watson. We said this during the first Browns game, and you know, Jacoby Brissett's quietly had a pretty respectable season. Yes. I don't think he's gotten enough respect as far as what he's done in a circumstance where he knows he's just Deshaun Watson's placeholder. But put it this way, the Browns are 3-7. I think Jacoby Brissett is nowhere close to the top of the list of reasons why. I think it's mainly been their defense being so lousy. But it's in Cleveland. You know how that fan base feels about the Ravens. It's their Super Bowl every year if they can beat the Ravens. So, you know, and is that game going to be a Saturday night game or a Sunday game? Remember, that's the flex weekend. that the Ravens could be a Saturday night game going to Cleveland. So, between that, as you mentioned, Pittsburgh, I think they're probably disappointed about how their defense played, with TJ Watt being back. I mean, they didn't offer a whole lot of resistance against Cincinnati, but there you go again, talking about good offense beating good defense, even though I wouldn't say the Steelers have been good defensively, but they expected to be better anyway. But Baltimore, Pittsburgh, we remember Ryan Mallett. We remember Charlie Batch. So it's happened on either side of the aisle.
We got him back. The Charlie Batch loss was really bad. And I'm sure the Ryan Mallett was as bad for them.
No doubt. But that just speaks to what I can remember. Duck Hodges taking the Ravens to overtime 3 years ago before the Ravens ended up winning on a field goal. So, so you just don't know. And again, that week 18 game, I think with Cincinnati, the Bengals are going to have to do really serious work to be in a position where that game is for the division. If they are, then that's where you watch out, because that means the Bengals have gone through not a schedule like the Ravens have, but they've got a gauntlet. Yeah. So they will be tested then. And I still think it's a good Cincinnati team. I just think what really hurt them is they needed to be better than 5-4 through their first nine games. When you kind of look at the schedule, they dropped a couple, they dropped the opener to Pittsburgh, where Burrow turned it over, five times. They just had an awful game there, and they lost to Cooper Rush, didn't they? I think they did.
And yeah, the Jamar Chase injury hasn't helped them, and
that hasn't helped them either.
He's a superstar.
So there's a case where I think it's interesting. The Bengals might be almost as good as the Ravens, or as good as the Ravens, but do I think they're going to have as good of a record as the Ravens by season's end? No, I don't, because they those two losses early on. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that absolute stinker they had at Cleveland. There you go again, another AFC North road game, that just an absolute clunker of a game they had at Cleveland back on what was that, Halloween, where they just got embarrassed. So, but who knows what's going to happen on week 18? Ravens could be playing for the number one seed. They might still have a chance there, or they're trying to get a certain seed to avoid Pittsburgh or not Pittsburgh, to avoid Buffalo or Miami in the first round. Who knows?
They're going
to
need that number one seed. Believe me. If they want to help themselves, that home cooking would serve them well.
Yeah. There's still so much that can happen. And again, we come back to the lessons learned this past Sunday against Carolina. Hey, I picked 31-13. It again shows I don't know what I'm talking about.
I thought it was 37-13. So I was right there with you. I didn't expect much from the Panthers.
Although I will say this, I mean, who would have thought I would have been too high on both teams? The Ravens scoring way too many points. And hey, the Panthers, the way that game was going, I mean, and short of them having a special teams or defensive score, they were never going to sniff 13.
They weren't scoring.
Yeah. So again, a compliment to the Ravens there, but a game that was more difficult than anticipated, a reminder that no, this is not 2019 where the Ravens just boat race everyone. And I think we probably, as a fan base, and even as a media, I'll throw the media in there because we do it too, because hey, it makes a good narrative. I think everyone probably needs to let go of 2019. I mean, it's 3 years ago. And then the other element being, yes, the Ravens were moving in a better direction health-wise. They're still in a better place health-wise than they were a year ago, when how many guys were already done for the season. But all it takes is one or two injuries at the wrong position where it completely changed. Not even quarterback's the given one for any team, but one or two injuries at the wrong position elsewhere on your roster where it can change your outlook. So, even in Buffalo, where they got themselves back on track this week, all year now they're going to be holding their breath every time Josh Allen, if he flexes his elbow or anything like that. I mean, you just don't know. So it's why this league is as popular as it is, with the parity and just how unpredictable it can be. But it can also break your heart, because things can take a terrible turn at any moment. It's just it's the nature of the game.
Weren't the Ravens 8-3 last year, right? And then
didn't win again,
right? And then who would have thunk that? Never saw that one coming. I'm sure a Harbaugh company see that in their nightmares. Luke, I appreciate the time as always. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, Baltimore Positive, all the great stuff you do for WNST, as well as your blog.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke, as I'm in Owings Mills throughout the week. Ravens playing in Jacksonville as they try to win their fifth straight, try to improve to 8-3. which back at, when they were 3-3, not that I would have said it was impossible, but certainly was more difficult to envision that happening. So even with some of the questions that you and I discussed at nauseam, certainly a compliment to John Harbaugh and his football team. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive Text Service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. Game day inactives, final injury report, any significant roster moves, any substantial local sports news sent directly to your mobile device, maybe an Orioles signing at some point here between Thanksgiving and Christmas, any of those updates sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive Text Service, and of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Any players and coaches interviews from Owings Mills, and of course, my blog sponsored by Coons Baltimore Ford at BaltimorePositive.com.
Luke, I want to wish you and your family happy Thanksgiving, particularly your sister and your brother-in-law. It's had a challenging year, to say the least, and our prayers and thoughts are with them.
I appreciate that very much, Dennis. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners and visitors of BaltimorePositive.com. We sincerely appreciate your support. Happy holiday season, and certainly I want everyone to enjoy some family, food, and football this week and as we get deeper into the holiday season.
That's right. Luke, I appreciate it. Stay well, my friend.
Thanks, Dennis.
There goes Luke Jones here, 1570 AM WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.